What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Pucks in 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
And this season, we are excited to team up with Sprott Money, Canada's leading precious metals dealer since 2008. Whether you're just starting out or have an established portfolio, Sprott Money has you covered. It's not just gold seeing gains. Silver demand set to exceed 1 billion ounces by 2025. Use promo code PUCKSIN7 for $10 off your first purchase. Visit SprottMoney.ca. That's S-P-R-O-T-T, money.ca. Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiash, here we go. Boy, too bad there's not a lot to talk about, Vic, in both the West and the East. Don't know how we're going to fill the next number of minutes.
It's a bit of a bad news show at first glance. It's
like, I'm already depressed and we haven't even started yet.
This is lousy. But I actually, you know, I was taking a deeper look at it, or yes, a more invested look at it. And even though it sounds like there's a lot of bad news out there, none of it is as bad as it could be.
Fair enough.
And there are a few silver linings here and there, and we're going to get to that all very shortly. But we can start right off in Boston, where there's no silver lining right
now. Why are we starting in Boston? What could possibly have happened in Boston?
We should mention we have Sean Hutchin coming up later on. He's our guest today. And we actually asked him, he's a Boston beat reporter who does a whole bunch of other things for the Fourth Period and different. He's also an advisor in different aspects. So he's going to be very interesting to talk to. But a Boston guy.
Yes.
And we actually invited him on the show before Jim Montgomery got fired.
Yes.
So it was a bit of hot diggity, good timing by us. Again, Jim Montgomery fired Ryan. What do you think?
I always find that funny, too, when we sometimes get guests on. I remember one time last year during a show on XM, that Sirius XM, they do the Hot Stove. I remember I texted someone, said, oh, do you mind coming on because we can talk about this? And she said, oh, I'm not surprised because they're terrible. So her mentality was, oh, you're only calling because they're bad. Well, that's not why we were calling. But the point is, to your point about, we did this before Montgomery. Okay, so I'm just going to be nice and simple with this. Jim Montgomery's, a few things stick out with this, and then we'll go into much more about this with Sean. This was inevitable. When you end up losing to one of the worst teams in hockey, that's going to be pretty much your ticket out if you end up getting whacked, which they did, and you're already discussion about being let go and being fired. I think he lost the room, or more specifically, I think the players started to tune him out. I think there was dissension on the bench, in the room, in the upper brass, whatever. He had 1 year left. He was in the last year of his contract. So many different things.
That's a big thing.
That's a big thing. So Don Sweeney's trying to save himself. It's not like this team was terrible coming in. Montgomery had an amazing couple of seasons. Yeah, they didn't win the cup, but whatever. So I think this was just one of those things where people, to be honest with you, weren't getting along, and he had to go.
It was time. It was time. Jim Montgomery is going to be just fine. He
Absolutely.
Might have another coaching job this year, say, Detroit. He might be somewhere else very,
actually,
very
quickly. I think this just in, Jim Montgomery, no.
Not quite yet. But Jim Montgomery is a good coach. He won the Jack Adams 2 years ago. Nobody's saying that he's lousy at his job. But he was lousy in his current position.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't communicating and they weren't listening anymore. And you can't fire the old saying, Ryan, you said it a thousand times. You can't fire 27 players or whatever number it is, but it's much easier to fire one guy. So it was time. The Boston Bruins are in trouble. This was supposed to be a playoff team. They are not a playoff team. They have a sub 500 record and they're we're going to talk to Sean in depth more about this, but they're going to have to figure it out because it wasn't just the coaching. It's the on-ice personnel and there are other issues going on there. Everybody is underproducing right now from the star David Pastrnak on down.
I will say it has nothing to do with the coaching. Nothing to do with the coaching. This is all on the players on the ice.
That's often the case.
But sometimes it's, but I just think for whatever reason. Anyway, I feel badly every time a coach gets let go. It's part of the business.
It is part of the business.
And he will get back on track. We'll do Sean in a bit. We'll get more into that with him. So he's gone.
Yeah.
You and I have talked about Mike Sullivan possibly being let go at some point. Any other coaches maybe in the hot seat could be next?
I think Detroit's an issue, don't
LaLonde,
you?
LaLonde, eh?
Yeah. I mean, unless... Do we think it's Patrick Waugh's problem? The Islanders are a Patrick Waugh problem? Because I don't.
No, I don't.
Do you think when you look at the way that Detroit is currently constructed with the talent they have right now and the fact that they're not taking that next step as we anticipated they would?
Mm-hmm.
So now who do you blame for not getting the best? They're not scoring, Ryan. They have
not.
To score.
No.
They have scored the fewest goals. At last check, they scored the fewest goals in the Eastern Conference. And when you have a team like the Islanders, who would score more than you, and you have good players on that team, Raymond, Dylan Larkin, and there's guys on the back end who can contribute as well. The goaltending should be better. All of that coming together, I do wonder. Again, not saying that Derek Lalonde in a vacuum is a bad coach because he isn't, but it isn't working out right now in Detroit. And if I had to put money on it, I'm never going to bet on anybody getting fired. I think that's
cool. But it's pretty mean you'd even think that.
Well, people do, though. People do.
I'm not talking about you. Okay.
But if I had to, he would be my pick right now.
And he's also in the last year of a contract as well. The contractual situation is such a huge part of that. So from what I gather, a lot of people were thinking Detroit was probably an 81-82 point team. Right now they're on pace for, I think, 73 or 74, something like that. You mentioned about the goals. They're not scoring 5-on-5. They've scored just 22. That was the second.
Horrific.
Is that terrible? 5-on-22. That was the second lowest as of Monday. So it may have changed. I don't know. But anyway, 22, regardless, is bad. Other coaches, maybe. There's Luke Richardson. I don't see that happening.
No, neither do I.
You mentioned Sullivan to me is somewhat okay for now because it's not like the Penguins have gone 0-15 and lost whatever. Here and there, I mean, they blew one last night, which they always seem to do. So I'm with you. I think Lalonde is probably the next one to go. Whether that happens in the next week or two, I'm not sure.
Do you know why I don't think Mike Sullivan?
Why?
Because I listened to you on the Hot Stove and Dave Pagnotta knows these things. And he comes out and says Mike Sullivan is not getting fired.
So he has
the insight and I don't.
That's true. But sometimes DP's been wrong. I'll tell you that. Sometimes he's been wrong.
We'll see.
Alex Ovechkin, I got a bunch to say about this. Terrible to see the injury the other night. He was on pace to score 800 goals this season, I think. He was on that roll.
Give or take two or three.
Give or take 802, 803, 795, whatever it is. But he certainly increased the ability to pass Gretzky at some point this season. And then he gets hit, awkward hit, just kind of a hockey play that, whatever. What I've been seeing is that, yes, it's week to week with an injury, but this could be longer than that. And I think if you looked at it, it is something to do with the knee, a ligament or something like that. And it bent the wrong way. He went down, needless to say, tough to see. And Ovi's not going to be back for a little bit.
Leading the NHL in goals right now with 15. The two games before getting hurt, including the game he was injured in, a hat trick and then two goals, five goals in two games.
He was on these Ovi runs again. This is what he does, right? Just skyrockets.
27 short of Gretzky's record at last check. I have heard a more sunny side of the street view of this. So this is why I said it's not a silver lining. There's nothing good about this, but maybe it isn't as bad as all that. And I've heard from a couple of different players that said, this looks like an MCL. Mm-hmm. I had this injury. I know what this is. This could be a 3-4-5 weeker, which is not the worst, Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Not the worst. If you're thinking week to week, 3-4 weeks would be great. And they all also mentioned that Ovechkin's a machine. If anybody is going to heal, he's like McDavid in this sense.
He never gets hurt, but he probably
does get hurt more than we realize, but he just heals lickety split.
Right.
Russian machine never break, right? So he's going to heal quicker than, never mind you or I, but even other hockey players, that if it is a timeline of 4-5, maybe we are looking at 3-4. Maybe we are looking at not necessarily back by Christmas.
Fingers crossed.
But right after.
Yeah.
And then if he can score 15 goals in just a little over a month, he can score 27 in 3 months. And he's going to have 3 months to score 27. So everybody wailing about, the record's not going to get broken this year. You don't know that.
No, you don't know.
You don't know that yet. It might not be if he's worse off than we think. But if this is 3-4, 4-5, then he's still breaking the record if he comes back good and healthy.
I have an issue with what Tom Wilson did after that.
I knew
that.
You would. I did.
Here's the issue I have. And it doesn't matter if it was Tom Wilson. It doesn't matter if it was, I don't know, anybody else, one of these tougher guys. in the National Hockey League. But when McBain hit him, I've looked at the play 100 times.
Mm-hmm.
There was no intention.
No.
There was nothing. I understand if there was a check from behind or if it was, you stick the knee out, all that. Then, yes, the tough guy on the other team should help the code or get the code involved and go after so-and-so. There was no need. There was no need for Tom Wilson to do that. I don't see the point of it. If he's going to just say, again, look how tough I am. You hurt my star player. No, you didn't mean to, Tom. It was a complete accident. And if it wasn't an accident, he should have looked on the ice and saw all four of the other guys not doing anything. They didn't go after McBain. They didn't see anything. There was no intent. So I have a real issue with that, only because say McBain got his you-know-what kicked, mm-hmm. and say something happened to him. Say he fell down, knocked out, whatever. I'm not trying to be grim, but I'm just looking at that fight did not need to happen if the result was bad on McBain's part.
I agree with you, but we also know that Tom Wilson is a hothead, and the fact that he doesn't commit this as often as he used to anymore, it is stupid. It's also not going away. They're going to continue to enforce the code until you and I are dead and buried in the ground. This
enforce
is not changing
the code,
anytime.
Though, not in that way. Enforce the code
emotions
if there was intent.
High. Emotions run high.
They
look
he was
over
on the bench.
There's Alex Ovechkin. I understand that.
He was on the bench. He
I
saw the replay. This is a stupid thing by
you.
Him. It bugs me. Anyway. What do you think of Austin Matthews? You have on the lineup, and again, I love how you do it. Not alarming. So he's going to Germany. He's going to get
in Germany.
Retooled. He's in Germany, going to get looked at. And he's visited this clinic before
yes.
during his time. This is a good time to do it. The Leafs don't have a lot of games coming up, I think 3 in the next 13 days.
Yeah.
I am alarmed by that, to be honest with you. What do you think?
But Brad Treliving told us not to be alarmed, and he said
times. We believe everything that the GMs and everyone say?
We have to listen to somebody. I was watching Twitter yesterday. It came across Matthews going to Germany for treatment. My first reaction was, and then I read a little bit more about it. Okay, he's going back to visit. It's more of a checkup. He's going to see his doctor that he's seen in the past. No, the Leafs are still not going to tell us what's bothering him. Wrist or
no,
back.
They did. They
did. They?
No. Yeah, Tree Living said it's the thing. He said he's going to get the thing. So when my thing hurts, I'm going to Germany. Yeah, if my thing hurts, I'm going to Germany.
That's right. It is the thing. Right. So the thing. So he's getting treatment on the thing. But Tree Living was very, very forthcoming. And this is the most candid he has been about this so far, which is why I'm probably too gullible, but still gullible enough to believe it. He says this is not alarming. He said not alarming 3 times. He said he could actually even be back in the next couple of weeks. So if it is bad as all that, he's not going to say a couple of weeks, Ryan. He's not. So if he's just going over there to get a good look over, I have to feel optimistic because losing Ovechkin now, and here's another one of the elite goal scorers in the game.
Toronto's not missing him at all. They're playing better without him.
I still want to see the league is better with Austin Matthews.
Of course. I'm not saying it's not.
And you don't need to be a Leafs fan to appreciate that. And also, you don't want this to be chronic. The fact that they've said that once he's going to be fixed, I can't.
No.
Believe that
this has been something whatever the thing has been dealing with for a long time. It has been anyway. Well, hopefully I'm with you, Matthews. Come on back and be healthy because the league's a way better play,
with all the
so
stars.
The Atlantic Division. This is something. You've got 4 down to 8. Boston with 19 points. Ottawa 17-17. Detroit 16. Montreal 16. And then Tampa's creeping up. They won 3. Then Toronto and Florida separated by 1 point. We got ourselves a race.
Especially for the bottom, in the bottom of the basement.
Yeah.
If we assume or we guess that 4 teams are going to go from each division, which is just the easier way of looking at it to start. I know it could change, but for now, let's just say 4 are going to go from each. One of the Ottawa Senators, Buffalo Sabres, Red Wings, it's not going to be Montreal, but let's just say Montreal Canadiens could be very much in this race if the Boston Bruins don't get their act together like we expect them not to. So I want to ask you, take Boston out of it. Of those other 4, who would you pick right now has the best shot? You already know my answer, but who would you say?
Process of elimination, not Buffalo.
I think it is a process of elimination.
No, I'm trying. You'll get what I'm saying.
Okay.
Process of elimination, not Buffalo, not Detroit, not Montreal. So that's my process of elimination.
So you're picking Ottawa. The Ottawa Senators.
I'm picking Ottawa.
Ryan Payton has just declared that the Ottawa Senators going to go to the playoffs. Everybody mark it down. The Ottawa Senators who can't defend to save their lives. Actually, that's not true. The Ottawa Senators are a pretty good team.
Okay, so if they can't defend, Buffalo can't defend. They have 61 goals allowed. Ottawa's 58. Detroit can't defend 60. Montreal can't defend 71. Out of those teams, Ottawa defends the best.
The Sabres are defending better now. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is playing better now. That defensive core is playing better now. But you know my pick is the Buffalo Sabres, obviously, because I'm not dropping that. I am taking that one with me until the end of time, until they are mathematically
eliminated. You have something with Buffalo. You're a Bills.
I have something for Tage Thompson. I will absolutely give that.
Oh, I know you do. Yeah, we're going to try to get him on next pod.
for my birthday, please.
Imagine. Yeah, so, it's coming up. It's coming up. You're turning 31. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Again.
Carry on. It's the recycle birthday. I'll go on.
Yeah. Recycled over and over. Got a lot of mileage out of that one. I'm going to go with the Sabres going with them. But our point is, now, it's fun because even fans of the Montreal Canadiens who have Patrick Laine coming back soon. Montembeau was fantastic the other night in the between.
Yeah,
the season when he plays well, my goodness. Sticking with the Atlantic, I sincerely owe.
Go ahead. I was going to lead you into this. I was going to have some music, some quiet music. Say, hey, Sam. Look, you know this is Victoria. If you want to go ahead,
Sam Reinhart, a personal apology. After Sam Reinhart scored 57 goals last year. I called it a rather fluky, not completely. I'm not saying he didn't earn it, but it was out of character. It was anomalous. There isn't any chance that Sam Reinhart is ever going to see a number like that again. I thought, you know, good 40, 45 for sure. He wasn't going to drop down significantly, but 57, anything over 50 just wasn't going to happen. And Sam Reinhart is absolutely sticking it to me large right now.
Crushing it.
He is crushing it. He's crushing my my assessment of my prognostications of what he would accomplish. So I do owe Sam Reinhart an apology, and also just watching him play. And I do watch a lot of Panthers if I can. Last night was really good against Winnipeg. But I do watch a lot of Panthers if I can. And the way he's scoring them too, super legitimate. The guy signed a bargain deal now, an extension with Florida. Yeah. They are getting their money's worth out of this character. It just apparently, and I know we've seen it before, Ryan, it took him a little bit longer to get there than other players in the NHL. To get to that, everybody was waiting for him to do this for years and years and years in Buffalo and elsewhere. And he finally has. Good for him. And now he's a player to be celebrated and to be spoken about with Matthews and McKinnon and Draisaitl and McDavid. He's right up there now in the goal scoring department, and he deserves his due.
I hope when you said that about him that he was just a, you know, flash in the pan kind of thing, it wasn't going to happen. I hope that didn't break Sam.
Flash in the pan. Easy there, Cowboy.
That's what you were saying. I hope it didn't break Sam Reinhart.
Sure.
I hope it didn't break that. 14 goals in 19 games, 57 and 82 a season ago, 31, 82, 33. So he hasn't dipped below 20. The shooting percentage, 29.2. Last season, he was at 24.5. That's a pretty good shooting percentage. So
he's on pace for 59.
And he's playing on a very good hockey team, which also helps. You put a great player on a team or a good player on a team, they become great. All right, we'll take a break. We will come back. Other side, we're going to go west. Some news out of Vancouver involving JT Miller. Hopefully he'll be okay. And a nice bounce back by the Jets. I said that they were done. They lost two in a row. That's it. Winnipeg's horrible. They're grounded. Blow the team up. Fires. There's the new head. The next head coach going to be fired is Scott Arneal. I'm kidding.
He's going to win the Jack Adams.
Of course he already did. He did that 3 weeks ago. Sean Hutchin, too. Later on, we'll get back to Boston. Pucks and Seven. Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash, brought to you by Sprite.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
And we are brought to you by Sprott Money. We know every dollar counts. We're excited to team up with Sprott Money, Canada's leading precious metals dealer. Gold is outperforming everything in 2024, surging to almost 3,600 Canadian per ounce. That's a 28% increase this year. Use the promo code PUCKSAND7 for $10 off your first purchase. Visit sprottmoney.ca. That's S-P-R-O-T-T money.ca. Give them a call, 1-888-861-0775. Sean Hutchin will join us next segment. We'll dive back into Jim Montgomery being let go in Boston, what this means, and all those situations happening with the Boston Bruins. We went east. Let's go west. A lot to cover. Of course, we get seven specific topics or issues that we want to dive into, and we begin with a personal one, no pun intended, involving JT Miller in Vancouver.
He is taking personal leave, and as we always say, it is the person before the player. That's more important. These people are human beings. They have families. They have other things going on. It's just a game, all to be considered. One of the better players in the league, though, it's definitely a loss for his team. We can also say two things can be true. He needs to do this because it's important. It's also a loss for the Vancouver Canucks. All we can hope for is when he takes the time off to get himself together, both physically and mentally, because something's bothering him physically as well. And then needs to get his head around it. Hey, man, we've all been there. We have all been there. And hopefully it doesn't take him too long and he's back in the game. But more hopefully, more importantly, he's feeling more himself and he's feeling better and he's feeling good.
No, I agree. And I know that he was battling injuries in the preseason. He's been battling injuries for most of this season as well, but he's still playing pretty good hockey. So you're right. The physical side of things is one. The mental side, a lot of times when they leave, I think most of the time, has to do with mental stuff. I will say this, and I'm not going to call whoever this person is out, but I really found this headline of the article really bothersome. I'm in a bothersome mood today. I had the whole Tom Wilson thing in the first segment. But the headline was, Canucks $56 million star out indefinitely for personal reasons. You don't need to put the million. You don't need to put the star.
That's
a human being is having trouble. He will be back when it's ready to come back. That really got to me.
I can already guess which publication that is, but again, there's no point in making any extra mention of it. I don't care if he's making 2 cents an hour. I don't care if he's making $2 million an hour. He needs to take care of himself, and that's what's more important. And we can all wait. We can all wait until he feels good again.
Edmonton.
I think that's enough on that. Okay, so.
Look at you, the Oilers. Flapping the wings almost. That was impressive. Okay. For those watching, Vic extended left, right, kind of like the, there you go. Okay, go on.
All right. Thank goodness most of our listeners are audio only or else.
Oh, they're going to be video now. They're going to be video now.
McDavid and Draisaitl reunited on a scoring line for the Oilers. Worked out really well against the Senators last night. It was a great win by the Oil. It was a very necessary win by Edmonton, I think everybody would say, against a team that they should beat. Ottawa Senators are good, but not great. So that's a win that they needed to get. And I love the discussion afterwards. Why don't they play McDavid and Draisaitl together all the time? And what some analysts are actually saying is, well, let's keep them together for now so they win a few games and then they can move the pieces around again. And I just find that a very interesting view of it. If they're winning more games with them together and the bottom nine are doing enough to support it. But they were pretty essentially responsible for most of the scoring in the 5-2 win over.
Four goals and nine points. They combined four goals and nine points.
I didn't even think it was four. I thought it was three.
Evan Bouchard with that, the three stars. But still.
Oh, the Bouchard goal was beautiful.
But 9 points over the course of the game, that's pretty good.
So if I'm coaching in the NHL, and maybe I will in Detroit shortly, I would say put these two guys together until it doesn't work again. If you're a team that's struggling to climb your division and a lot of people have you pick to win the Stanley Cup or at least compete for it legitimately, get these guys together until it doesn't work, honestly.
So. Every time a McDavid is paired with Draisaitl or say in Toronto, just pick a couple of names, Matthews with Marner if they're struggling or some of the greats on the teams right now in the NHL. I always go back to Crosby and Malkin in Pittsburgh and how they've rarely ever played.
I knew you were going to say that. Well, they're two legit centers.
But I'm saying they're quite talented enough to do a little bit, right? Yes, that's kind of what I'm getting at. But I'm with you. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. If this is working, you need to bank points. You're still trying to climb. Get points, get confidence, put McDavid and Draisaitl on for 60 full minutes if you need to. I don't care. Drill them with oxygen all the time on the bench.
I think Leon is raising his hand going, excuse me.
You're benched. Healthy scratch, Leon Draisaitl. You're not listening? Yeah. Anyway, no, I'm with you. We're not coaches, but it seems pretty evident. points are important, and the confidence certainly is important as well. I said the Jets were done after losing two in a row. They're not. They're fine.
You were being silly.
Nice bounce back by the Jets. I would say
this. Did you not think that they were pretty much for sure for certain going to win that hockey game last night?
Of course.
Okay. Because when they got beat down in Florida, it's so strange to see a back-to-back when you see a Western team play an Easter team and they go and play on the East Coast and then come and play and they play a back-to-back on the West Coast.
No.
We don't get those too often. But I think they're fine. It's the logistics of travel obviously make the big difference there in time zones and all the rest of it. But it was neat to watch, you know, this Stanley Cup replay type situation. Well, not type, Stanley Cup replay in Florida and then come back and see it again. And it was neat to see the Panthers pretty much feed it to the Oilers the first game. And
the Jets.
The Winnipeg Jets. What we could see as, I'm all over the map here. I got excited. That would be a neat one to see. But they played the Jets. Okay, fine. So, but to see the best team in the league right now get beat, and then come back and absolutely redeem themselves in very convincing fashion from Kyle Connor, Shifley, all the way down to the goaltending, right? And it was also a very entertaining hockey game. So the Jets are fine.
So a week ago, I got that. I got that about 5 minutes ago. I did. I
had to throw the Oilers in that I want to see them play.
It's
back-to-back
okay. Edmonton, Florida, Winnipeg, you're so demanding. You want all this stuff all the time. So a week ago yesterday is when they beat the Rangers. The Jets did 6-3. Then they lose to Tampa, just kind of going back to the two losses. Yeah,
Florida was nasty.
Outscored 9-1. Outscored 9-1. So then they I'm with you with that. That to me, of all the wins, how many wins do they have? 43 already? Something like that. Of all the wins that they've had, this is one of the more impressive ones. I know there were some days off, two full days off between the rematch with the Panthers, but the Panthers are a very good hockey team. And to your point, very well said, they got spanked 5-0. It wasn't like a 2-1 game in overtime. Mm-hmm. They lost 5-0. Maybe two more wins at least this week, Pittsburgh and Nashville. They go back-to-back on Friday and Saturday. The next week, they have Minnesota on the 25th. And that leads us into our next discussion. Is the best goaltender right now in the NHL in Minnesota?
Personal number wise, yes. Win-loss record, no. Mm-hmm. Still Hellebuck, but that's because the Jets have won so many other games right now. But Philip Gustafson is not attracting enough attention in my mind. I don't think the Minnesota Wild are attracting enough attention in my mind. But the fact that I just glanced at his numbers and he's top of the table when it comes to save percentage, he's top of the table when it comes to goals against average. And then you look at the Minnesota Wild's record, 12-3-3. And he's a big reason why. Also, Kirill Kaprizov is also a big reason why. And everybody else on the team is doing their job. But he's just, it's so interesting. We're already handing the Vezina to Hellebuck in mid-November when there's another
and
player
that's
who
that's
doesn't have the wins yet.
That's because
W's,
of this undefeated start. That's because of all the more, to your point about the more wins than the losses. I'm with you, and I'm glad you brought this up because Hellebuck is obviously still the Vezina Trophy leader, I think. But how many times, I think we've talked about this a few times on this podcast, that we say the state of Minnesota doesn't get a ton of discussion. The Minnesota Wild do not get a lot of discussion. And it's too bad because there's a lot of great hockey that's come from the state of Minnesota.
It's called the hockey.
So why aren't we, why aren't they? And they're fine with it, I'm sure. If I always think about this too. If I was playing hockey, yes, it'd be great to play in the limelight and you get all the media and all this stuff, but that is also rather annoying. If you play with a team that's very good and people maybe talk about you third, fourth down the list, I'm fine with that.
Weather, bit of a homespun state too, and I mean that in the most complimentary way. They're just, you know, salt of the earth people. It's not a lot of skyscrapers, not a lot of flash and dash. It's not the sexiest state.
So when are we going?
But if you can deal with the summers are beautiful, by the way. If you can deal with the weather in the winter, I think that would be an ideal place.
Gustafson had 43 starts last season, Vic, and his goals against was 306, and the save percentage, 899. Mm-hmm. He has 14 starts this season. He's won 9 of them. His goals against is basically a goal less, 207, and the save percentage up to 926. That's very, very
that's
impressive.
Fantastic.
The goals against down by one, that's phenomenal. Do you want to, what sound does a wolf make?
So in the lineup, we were going to talk about the restarted netminder for the Calgary Flames. So I wrote out how I think a wolf sounds. So I wrote wolf,
Yeah, and you wrote it out with A's, O's, and U's. Yeah, something like that. Okay.
Did you understand what we were talking about?
I just wanted to hear you say it.
Well, then I guess it's fine. Ow. So it's working out pretty well for Dustin Wolf with the Calgary Flames, eh?
It is. I will say this, that when I didn't have Calgary moving up at all this season, I think that was pretty well known. And old Calgary's dear to your heart, right?
Yeah. The Sabres yeah, of the West.
That is a great comparable. The Calgary Sabres and the Buffalo Flames. There we go.
In the yeah. Matty Ash world, yeah,
I didn't have them moving up very much at all. But I looked at the goaltending between Wolf and Vladar. I thought, okay, is that like a 1A, 1B? No, it's not. Is that a 1 and a 2? I don't know. Is it a 2A and a 2B? Maybe it is. But no, I'm surprised. And it's a good surprise that they're doing this. And it's not like Calgary is right down in the dumps in that Pacific Division. They're actually not playing that badly.
In his last 5 starts, talking about Dustin Wolf here, beat Montreal, allowed only 2 goals. Had a stinker against Boston, doesn't matter. LA held them to 1 goal. Then knocked out his first shutout of his NHL career against the Nashville Predators. And then what impressed me even more is when you put in a performance like that, and then you come back and you allow 1 single goal against the Islanders and win another tough one. And that's your rebound. I just find that super impressive. He's young. Everybody has been talking about him being the goaltender of the future for Calgary. He's a littler guy by goaltending standards. And he looks like he's 14, man. Like, he looks like he's in high school. He really does. And if he can play this way consistently, now the Flames fans can really, really anchor themselves to somebody and look forward to a team that, okay, we have one issue resolved. Mm-hmm. We still need a couple of centers.
It's a good
one for sure. We need some defensive help. Got 3 really good defenders on that team right now. And they have some talent up front. But now you can pick away at that and you don't have to look behind you. You know what's going on.
7-3 in their last 10, which is, I'm very
really
surprised
really good.
With that. Sorry, 7-3 at home, my Paul. 5 wins in the last 10, but they only have 3.
Yeah, but they have a winning record
they
in
do.
The last 5.
5-3-2, okay. Only 3 regulation losses in 10, which is fantastic. And they're in third. They're in third in that pretty weak Pacific Division. They're tied right now in points with the LA Kings at 23.
Not nothing.
Jordan Binnington, one of the greatest masked goaltenders I've ever seen, and I loved him growing up, was Mike Liut. I loved him.
Oh, he was famous for that.
Loved it, and I was looking a bit of it this morning, thinking, oh my gosh, I remember him like it was yesterday. Binnington now on the verge of Mr. Liut.
He is chasing him down for most wins in St. Louis franchise history. This caught me a little bit by surprise. I thought maybe somebody else would be there, like a Curtis Joseph or somebody else, or would be amongst the mix. But I guess when you look at the history of St. Louis goaltending, there aren't too many career guys. Like, it is like a Curtis Joseph who made a stop there. Even Mike Liu wasn't the entire, you know, everybody sort of played there for a bit, but also played in Washington or in Boston or in Toronto or in Detroit, somewhere else, right? So it's interesting, but good on Jordan Binnington. He had the opportunity to tie Mike Liu for wins last night against Minnesota. He lost. Minnesota's just playing super duper right now, but we'll have the opportunity and we'll obviously tie the record and beat it relatively soon. And good on Mr. Binnington for that. That's quite a record you want to have if you are, you know, one of the better netminders.
Jordan Binnington's been there since 2017, 2018. So to your...
Remember him coming out party? When they won the cup?
You and I would...
Remember the Stanley Cup
win? You and I would come out too. Hey, we're on the map. Well, we won the cup.
Oh, he was so fantastic that year. He was so fantastic. So this is something they can hold on to as well. Because the Blues have not been playing very well this season, and they have been worse more recently than they were to start. So if this is now they have, okay, first of all, they have Robert Thomas back finally, which is huge, their best skater. And you can kind of rally around this stuff a little bit. Get your netminder over this hump, get the record, see some positivity from that and try and drag that forward.
Some of the other goalies too, I'm not going to go through the whole list of them, but Jaroslav Halak was there for a while. Jake Allen was there for a while. I'm surprised Martin Brodeur doesn't have the most wins in St. Louis history. He was there for a cup of coffee. Lots more before we get to Sean Hutch and the Bruins. We'll go back to talk about Jim Montgomery. I think this is neat. The Utah Hockey Club, you know, I remember that opening night watching it and seeing the buzz, and finally this team, this franchise has a place that they can call home and they can forget about all this other stuff. Am I going here in Arizona? No, you're not. You're staying in Utah. So they set some records last week. The jerseys went on sale for the first time. I want to ask you something about that in a second. April 18th was the new franchise. They didn't go on sale until Utah played the Vegas Golden Knights on November 15th. Fans lined up. They set a single day sports event sales record at the Delta Center, which is incredible. I think it's fantastic. Nice story.
Incredibly yeah. nifty. And it's really super. It speaks to, I get sure. it, by the way, because you're not only buying a jersey, you're buying mm-hmm. a piece of history. You can tell your kids and your grandkids you were the first to do this. And there's very much something to be said for that. So also just getting the franchise, enjoying hockey in Utah, it's all part and parcel of all of it. But the fact that it's still a record-breaking thing is yeah. pretty neat, and it's something you can also hook your hat on.
You going to get a Utah jersey?
If I go to okay. a game, yes. If I don't go to a game,
I'm going
to... No. I'd like to see what they're going to do going forward.
Yeah, I'm
going to
wait until they finalize a name. If they're going to stick with the Utah Hockey Club, but if they don't, because yeah. I'm all for the Yeti. I want to wear a Yeti.
You
I don't want to wear a palm
a
tree,
Yeti.
But I want to wear a Yeti.
There's no rhyme or reason to your taste.
What?
In
don't you want to wear no a Yeti instead of a palm tree?
What if the Yeti is yellow?
We're going to have to talk about that. I'm going to give Ryan Smith a call. Whatever you do, don't make it yellow.
Oh,
all right.
Man. But if anybody doesn't realize, Ryan hates yellow.
I dislike. Hates a tough word. Yeah.
Don't,
I'm just not a huge
not
fan
like
of it. I think they... Anyway, Sean Hutchin is next. We'll go back into the Boston Bruins situation. We'll talk about Jim Montgomery being let go and go 77 seconds with Hutch as well. Ryan Payton, Victoria Maddiash, Pucks and Seven brought to you by Sprott.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Maddiash.
Ryan Payton, Victoria Maddiash, Pucks and Seven. I wish it was happier times in Boston to have our next guest on, Sean Hutchin. We've had Sean on the Hot Stove on Sirius XM 91 with myself, Dave Pagnotta, Dennis Bernstein a number of times, and Hutch has been doing great work for the fourth period since 2012, I believe, Hutch, if I'm not mistaken, so it's been a while. But unfortunately, things aren't going so well in Boston, but I hope you're doing better.
I think I'm doing better. I hope so anyway.
I hope so too.
It seems to be the case for many of us here.
What do you make of it all? This was the move, I think, that had to be done. It was rumblings of something going to happen, and I think that last loss to Columbus was just the cherry on top, if you will.
Oh, absolutely. It was definitely the cherry on top. It as you said, it had been, it's lack of a better word, brewing for better.
Well done.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Well done.
I'm learning from listening to you and the boys on,
right?
on Saturday mornings. But no, it had been, it was in the works. And since training camp, I mean, even Cam Neely commented on it last week that it was just kind of a disjointed or disconnected. I can't exactly remember exactly the word he used right now. But training camp didn't go as well as it had been hoped. And, of course, Jeremy Swayman didn't have his contract, so he wasn't there. But it just – I never like to see someone lose his or her job.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was coming, and this is just, I think this may be just the first shoe to drop, so to speak.
Really?
We'll see. I mean, depending on how the players react to this, the firing of Jim Montgomery, and mm-hmm. Of course, new interim head coach Joe Sacco, they're used to him. He's been with the team for 10 years. But yeah, I mean, it usually, as in most cases, right? It's not just one person is responsible.
Of course not.
No.
No.
Okay, let's jump on that then, Sean. What's next? Okay, coach is fired. Okie dokie smoky. Now what?
Well, now it falls on the players. Brad Marchand spoke about it just Monday night after the game, that horrendous effort and or lack thereof against Columbus. He spoke about the lack of accountability in the room. And that's not Bruins culture. I mean, Bruins
not
culture since he's been here, since 2009, you know, with Zdeno Chara, Patrice Bergeron, David Krejci, Tuukka Rask, that whole group, the accountability was first and foremost in that room. And to hear Brad Marchand say there's players need to be held accountable, we need to hold themselves accountable, you know, obviously red flags everywhere.
Yeah.
And that means that there are players that weren't listening to the coach, aren't, or haven't been listening to the coaching staff, maybe, and they're not listening to the leaders in the room. And so that's now, like we say, it falls on the players. Okay, unfortunately, the coach is lost his job. He's gone. Now how are you going to respond to it?
Mm-hmm. Montgomery had a great couple of seasons in the regular season. The numbers speak for themselves. In the playoffs, they didn't make it, of course. He was in the last year of his contract as well. My sense, and again, I'm with you, and Victoria echoes the sentiment too. We never like to see anybody lose their job, but this was something, I guess, that had to be done. But my sense was, and is still, that the players just started to tune him out. There was too much stuff going on the bench that we saw, very public. I'm sure in the dressing room there was a ton of it as well that we didn't see. But I just, it's hard for me to look at, this is the same coach, and the team's different, but it's not that different from 2 years ago and last year. It's not that different to fire the head coach.
Okay, it's not that different from last year. That'll give you.
Yeah, and the year before that, it was the anomaly. 135. I mean, that was fantastic. But my point is that it just seems, Hutch, that the players were the ones that were pushing him out. I don't know if you agree.
No, I agree with that. And actually, and to your point that this is primarily the same team as last year. Actually, there are 8 new players on the team from this year versus last year. But you're right. The one thing that when Bruce Cassidy was here coaching that got him in trouble with the players was that he was calling players out in the media.
Right.
That's something that Jim Montgomery began to do last year. And I know that, again, it just didn't sit well with that group of players.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, I think really the piece that broke the ice was we all saw it when he went over and got on Brad Marchand, gave him that little, I won't say shove, but kind of like, you know, kind of like, hey, wake up, and give him that little tap. Yes, that little tap on the shoulder. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, this day and age, the way coaching and players are, I mean, it that just doesn't go over with players. You know, it doesn't go over well at all, especially when it's your captain. You know, the players all have the utmost respect for their captains of their teams, and especially with the Bruins, the Brad Marchand is a Hall of Fame, I think has had a Hall of Fame career, arguably. And he's one of the elite players in the league and has been for a few years. So his teammates look up to him, and the other leaders on the team look up to him as well. And to see that happen out there in front of, at that point for them and the players, in front of the other team and in front of 15, 16, 18,000 people, that was it. That just separated any continuity between players and the coach.
Yeah.
There's 2 questions now, and I'm torn. I don't know. I'm going to get to both of them, though, if Ryan doesn't beat me to it. But I'm going to start with this. What's wrong with Jeremy Swayman? Or is there anything wrong with Jeremy Swayman?
You know, I'm not sure there is anything wrong with him. Okay. I think he can be playing better. Yes, he can. That's for sure. His reaction time, especially against Columbus the other night, it just wasn't there. He made some good saves, but on 3 of the 5 goals, I've watched replays over and over again, and I'm saying, Jeremy, you used to stop those shots.
Yeah.
I think that I know a lot of people saying, well, he missed training camp, and that really hurt him.
Yeah.
And it does hurt, but, you know, we're 20 games into the season.
Yeah.
You know, and
I don't buy that at all. Yeah.
Right. Same here. Yeah. That's the thing. We're 20 games into the season. He's played the majority of them. He's, of course, practices and everything like that. So, you know, he really hasn't had a lot of help in front of him.
Yeah.
So I think I'm not sure if it's so much what's wrong with Jeremy Swayman is it's systemic. It's the whole team.
Let me pick up on something, then Vic can jump in. Does Linus Allmark not being there have anything to do with Jeremy Swayman not feeling that, hey, I've got a crutch behind me if things go wrong? One of the best 1A, 1B. I don't know if it does, but do you think that has anything to do with the fact that Swayman may not be as playing as well because he doesn't have one of his good friends and a really great goaltender beside him?
A safety net, too.
Yeah, safety net.
Yeah, I think that's a great point and a great question, and I believe that does have something to do with it.
Mm.
They're best of friends. I mean, that friendship, that bond they have is not for show. It's a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
And So I think not having Linus Ullmark here, I think it has had an effect on Jeremy Swayman. Mm-hmm. Like you say, he's able to have that kind of safety net to say, hey, you know, what are you seeing? And, you know, you won a Vezina Trophy. What can I do better? What can I do different?
Sure.
You know, and now that's gone, and so now that there needs to be that trust formed between Swayman and Jonas Korpisalo. I'm sure it's coming along. Korpisalo has been really great, especially his play has been really good. You know, and so I think they can bounce ideas off of each other. Goaltenders always do, but there was that bond, and that's a special bond that Ullmark and Swayman mm-hmm. had. And I can't see how it can't be missed by Swayman.
I'm glad we brought that up. That's interesting. All right. But how, Sean, a little bit of real talk here, okay? Head coach is fired. Joe Sacco is a perfectly capable head coach. We've seen that in the past. Jeremy Swayman is going to play better. I think we all understand that's going to eventually happen. As this Bruins team is currently constructed with the personnel they have, do they have a legitimate shot to contend for a playoff spot and even advance in the postseason? Is the personnel there?
Contend for a playoff spot, yes.
Okay.
That's about it, though.
Stanley Cup, absolutely not.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So what do they need?
Oh, they need an help. Overhaul. Yes, right. Yes, they do. No, I mean, there is no real true number one center.
Yes.
You know, Elias Lindholm is here, hasn't really lived up to expectations. You know, I mean, then again, there were really, I think, a lot of unrealistic expectations placed on him. I mean, people, you know, heard about what he did with Calgary, heard about what he did with Vancouver, and he was scored timely goals and things like that, and which he did. He hasn't yet here in Boston, but he's not going to score 25, 30 goals. That's not Elias Lindholm. Pavel Zacha was given a shot at center. Mm-hmm. I thought he was very good at center. He's very good at faceoffs. Defensively, excellent. But again, he's not going to give you 30 goals.
No.
You know, Charlie Coyle is another 15 to 20 goal guy on a great year, not having a great year. Yeah. You know, so that's where it starts. And speed. I mean, there is no speed on this team. They decided, GM Don Sweeney decided, well, we need to get bigger. We need to get heavier to compete with Tampa Bay and Toronto.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Yes, you did need that. But
yeah.
In doing so, you came up with a very slow team and bringing in the big guys.
And last time I checked, the NHL's a fast league. It's a pretty quick league.
Faster than it ever has been.
Exactly. So let me throw this. I was going to go to Don Sweeney. Of course, the coach is gone. Sweeney's been under the hot seat. You mentioned the changes they had this year, the players that are not here now that they were a year ago. Does blame need to be centered on Don Sweeney, what he did and what he didn't do?
I think he shares in it for sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like I said, I think there's plenty of blame to go around. Mm-hmm. You know, not just Jim Montgomery, but players. But yes, Don Sweeney as well.
What about the mascot? Does the mascot get blamed at all for?
You know, we don't see him as much as we used
to. See? Okay, well, there's the key. Bring him, but yeah, he's I have nothing to do with this team.
That's right. Yes, that's Columbus has a 3-0 lead after the first period. Out. Okay, I'm out. So. But yeah, no, you're right. I mean, it's Don Sweeney does share in the blame.
Yeah.
You know, as for what I was saying, you know, at before last year's playoffs at the trade deadline, he said we need to get bigger, we need to get heavier. And great, brought in Patrick Maroon, great leader, won 3 Stanley Cups.
Yeah. He could barely move, Hutch.
That's right.
It was laboring.
He was, you know, and that was because of that back
right.
situation.
Yeah.
But you know, and then he went out. Don Sweeney went out and brought in. Other players and for this season, and like we said, it's kind of in the Patrick Maroon mold where these guys are big, they're heavy, they can play a physical game, but it's hard to play the physical game if you can't skate and catch the other players and your opponents. So I think the roster construction, I think it needs to be, there need to be changes made, and I think we're going to see some changes. Don Sweeney's been out scouting a lot, not only for
I've heard that.
Yeah,
Bruins scouts at this game. Bruins scouts at that game. Bruins scouts at this game.
How many were at the other game you tweeted out? Was it 13 or was it more than that?
18.
18.
There were 18 teams represented.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. And so with Columbus versus Boston, I mean, Yeah, I don't think they were all just window shopping.
No.
No, I don't think so either.
No.
All right. Before we get on, we move on to our game 77 seconds, which I know you're very much looking forward to. let's end on a positive. Let's dump the Bruins just for a second. We'll see what happens with them. Who's a team? What's a team in the NHL this season that has impressed you more, come a little bit out of the woodwork and shown you something that maybe you weren't expecting?
Washington Capitals.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah. Easy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
And a lot of, yeah, everyone I speak with, same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I expected that team to kind of just maybe compete for a playoff spot. Losing TJ Oshie is a big loss. Everybody thought I won't say everybody, myself, I thought Ovi had slowing down. Just doesn't have a lot left in the tank. You know, he's going after Wayne Gretzky's record, but it's going to take a couple of years. And all of a sudden, he's playing like 25-year-old Ovi. So, adding Strome to the lineup was a huge addition for that team. Defensively, they've gotten younger, but they're playing excellent defense. In goal, they're getting the goaltending.
Yeah,
and they add the speed. They're a faster team. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm really impressed with what the Capitals are doing.
Ovi, just get back when you're ready, and hopefully it's not too long. I would love to see him, and I think Vic and I talked about this too before he got hurt. We'd love to see him get it done this year. Say the injury aside, I didn't want him to be, say, 4 goals shy by the time the 82nd game was played, and then, can't get it, and then you got to wait till next year. But
everybody wants to witness history, right?
Everyone does. Okay. You ready, Sean?
Yes, I'm a little nervous, but I'm ready.
You have no choice. So here we go.
I know.
Yeah, you're not like the mascot. You can't leave. You're with us.
No 3-0 lead here.
No. Nope. 77 seconds with Hutch. We go into 7 questions in 77 seconds. You can take 2 seconds with one, and you can take 15 with another, whatever you want to do. Vic says she has the time clock going, but she never does. So
sometimes, Sean, you do your own arithmetic.
Sometimes this goes 700 seconds. Yeah.
Well, I didn't major in math, so I don't know. I might be in trouble.
We're going to be on for the next 10 minutes then. Here we go. Okay, so Boston is not playing well. Do you boo your team when bad, yay or nay?
The fans were booing big time in after the first period in that game against Columbus. So I would say...
Do you philosophically agree with that stance?
I would, yes. Okay. Yes, I would. I myself don't... I know the players. For the most part, the players are giving it their all.
Yeah.
Maybe not so much that night, but I've never been a big proponent of booing. But there are times when I think it's deserved.
You have to.
Here's Ryan's facetious questions. When is Bergeron coming back?
Well, the Celtics had a basketball coach, and all of a sudden, I can't think of his name all of a sudden, but this was several years ago when he said, Larry Bird is not walking through that door.
And, Yeah.
Yes. So same thing. Patrice Bergeron is not walking.
He's not walking through that door.
No.
He looks good though. He could. He's still in great shape.
He is.
Your favorite ever interview that you've done?
NHL related.
Wow. I would say Jaromir Jagr.
Okay.
When he was playing.
Can imagine. Yeah.
Yes, when he was playing, and you know, any interview with Zdeno Chara also, but I will never forget. It was after when he was playing for the Bruins. Jagr was asked. By a few people about his career and how he's getting up there. And I looked over, I said, do you ever plan on retiring? And his answer to me was, are you married? And I said, yes. He said, do you love your wife? I said, well, yes, of course. He said, I love to play hockey. Why would I ever leave the game of hockey?
Great answer.
Exactly. And I've never forgotten that. And
that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, one of my favorite people to talk with for sure was Jaromir Jagr.
You have 2 seconds on this one. Who wins the cup this year?
Oh, right now I would say Dallas.
Sounds good.
Okay. How many points did you ever score as a defenseman at Fitchburg State University?
That would be 7.
7?
1 goal, 6 assists was my best year.
You were more of a stay-at-home fella then in general.
I was more of a first pass guy.
Hutch is a giver. Hutch is a giver. Yeah.
I was a giver. Yes. I tried to be the stay at home player, but I grew up watching Bobby Orr to show how old I am. So it was like, give me the puck. I want to go with it. But at 5'8", playing against guys who are 6'1", 6'3", 6'4", sure. It was, okay, learn to move your feet and pass the puck quickly. So I just concentrated on that.
That's great.
Best thing to eat in the greater Boston area?
Best thing to eat. I would say the cannolis from Mikey's Bakery in the North End.
Ooh, specific. Cannolis and Mikey's Bakery in the North End. Yeah, Vic, we're going, and Hutch, we're going to call you when we get there.
Oh, please do.
last one. Favorite personal moment as a Boston sports fan?
I would say three. I would say the Stanley Cups in 1970, 72, and 2011.
You're sticking with the Bruins then. No Celtics or Red Sox content whatsoever.
Well, no, actually, you know what? Now you bring it up. Yeah, that 04 World Series.
Also. I was going to say that would be my number one. The Ortiz World Series was really quite something else.
It really was. It really was. And that was, that was very special because to all of us, I should say, because that was, you grow up a Red Sox fan and I've been living in the Boston, grew up in the Boston area since I was 8 years old. And so it was just, okay, great. We're going to have a good season and maybe we'll, there might be a playoff game or two, but they're not going to win the World Series. We just knew every year of spring training, hey, look at the pitching, look at the hitting, but it won't be good enough. And
very quick Victoria story. My grandmother, Gertrude Monica Barker, was diehard. She's since passed, but she's diehard Red Sox fan. And 2004, she told me afterwards, was the best day of her life. Mm-hmm. And I pointed out that she married my grandfather, who she loved for over 50 years and gave birth to my mother. And she said those days were good too.
Hey, she knows. She's a sports fan.
That's right. That World Series meant to my family and my nana in particular.
Absolutely. That was it. My dad, of course, grew up in Boston area. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, he never saw them win World Series.
I'm sorry.
It was bittersweet, but it was a really happy night, the night that they beat the Cardinals to win the World Series.
Some great memories in Boston. Hutch, you gave us some great memories with this. We appreciate it. And Vic and I will let you know when we're on our way for the cannolis that you were talking about.
Absolutely. I'll clear the schedule and we'll meet there for sure.
Text you well in advance. Thanks, Hutch, for this. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you very much. I really enjoyed it.
This has been Pucks in 7, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.